A reading from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning with the 10th verse. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the mouth come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away. She keeps crying after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the context of this reading is important. Jesus has had a run-in with the Pharisees, who were the rule-keeping sect, so to speak, of the Jews at that time. They were the people who said you had to wear a three-piece suit to church. Y'all remember those days? If you didn't wear your vest and your blazer and women didn't have dresses or a bonnet on, they were going straight to hell. That's the kind of rule-keeping these people were doing. These were the people who say, if you don't, you know, sing the hymns we sing, or if you don't do this the way we do it and do this the way we do it, then you're not really part of the kingdom of God. If you don't think the way we think, speak the kind of tongues we speak, if you don't say, if you don't do, if you don't do, if you don't do, you hear the pattern? If you don't do, then you don't belong to the kingdom of God. But what Jesus challenges them on is belonging to the kingdom of God is a matter of the heart. Listen to what he told them. He quoted one of the prophets when he said, specifically Isaiah, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." I'm going to hate to say it to you, but I've experienced some people who call themselves Christians that I seriously doubt their heart was in any shape or form in love with Jesus. Some people that I've experienced who called themselves Christians were really just in love with themselves and out to get what they could out of being part of the church. There was a time when you had to be part of the church in order to succeed in business in a town, where being part of the church was how you belonged to the right part of society. Thank God those days are over. Some people are bemoaning the loss of that, but I'm glad, because now that means that the church can actually have a revival of the heart in America. Wouldn't that be great? If all of a sudden the church was filled with people not who were here not because they were supposed to be, but because they wanted to come and praise Christ and rejoice over what God has done for them, rejoice over the change in heart that they feel in themselves. or even just plainly to seek the face of this Christ that they don't yet know. Wouldn't that be beautiful? What if the church was filled with people who weren't there because of what they got out of it, the honor that they got from being there or to be seen or to have the social interaction, but people who wanted to come and bend their knee to Christ? That's what Jesus was calling for from his own people. A people who didn't honor God with their lips, but honored God with their heart. The only reason to come and worship is because God deserves worship. Anybody want to say amen to that? Wow, think about that. The only good reason to come and worship is that the Master is worthy of our worship. What we get out of it, we call grace. If we come here and we worship and we feel our heart changed, that's the active presence of God's Holy Spirit working in us to heal us of our sin and relieve us of the oppression of darkness in the world. And Jesus actually thought that these Pharisees were keeping people from experiencing that because they heaped rules on them that they couldn't keep. And so their guilt mounted and mounted and mounted on them. I've had the experience of knowing people who did something wrong and the church wanted to ostracize them and push them away. My God, where can you go but the church for help when you're in sin? Is this not the hospital for sinners? Is this not the place where we come to meet the one who can heal us? The Canaanite woman thought so. This Jesus wandering through the desert, she sees as the one who can heal the destruction that's going on in her family. Who can come and heal their daughter. She is emblematic for us of the disease of sin, of the death that sin brings into the world. She is a metaphor for us. That daughter who we don't see is every one of our neighbors that we don't see. Every person who is oppressed these days by all of the things that seem to be radically level heaping up on us, the violence that people are adopting. The children that people seem to be okay with people trading for things and money. The level of darkness that is around us right now seems to me greater than anything else I have ever experienced in my own life. And there's so much division amongst our leadership that I wonder if anything can be done. And then I remember Jesus. Christ can heal our land, but it will require a revival of the heart. It won't require people coming back to the church because their mama told them to. It won't be beneficial if people come just because they can get something out of it. But if people come seeking the face of Christ, our nation can be healed. So I want every person here and every person who sees my face on the online media there to pray for that. To pray that there would be a renewal in our hopes, not for a holy nation, whatever that means, but in our hopes for revival, that people's lives would actually be changed by knowing Jesus. And you know what? That begins with us. We all drag our own problems here with us. Our sins follow us around like they're tied to us with a piece of kite string. Jesus is the one who can clip those tethers. And so he's in a disagreement with people who just wanted to tie on more rules, make it more difficult for people to be free and to feel like they could come to the Father who loved them. And so he says about them, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. God, help us to be careful that we don't get so stuck on the traditions that we forget grace, that we forget the movement of God, that we forget that God heals and God saves. That we forget that God invites people to be born again, to be made new. That we forget that Jesus acted on behalf of a woman that the disciples wanted to send home. Do you hear that? The good church people wanted to kick her out and get her gone. Tired of listening to her problems. How do we react to Jesus? How do we react to this promise that there is one who can renew us in ways that we can't even imagine? How do we react to the news that there is one who can wrestle us out of the jaws of death and keep us from being chewed up by shame? That's what she wants. I can't imagine what it was like for her, a human being, to come, seeing this person, knowing the things that he had done. She had to know there's no reason for her to show up. Would you agree with that? I mean, everybody advertises everything today, right? Bass Pro Shop doesn't have a sale unless they send out 5 million circulars. I wonder how they stay in business. I get so many of them. We advertise. Something had gotten to her ear about this Jesus, and so she shows up to honor him with her heart. To honor him with her heart. She proskuneo Jesus. That's the Greek word that's here when it says that she knelt down when Jesus encountered the devil in the desert. And the devil said, Jesus, if you'll kneel before me, if you will proskuneo me, if you will worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. In other words, that whole cross thing, that's not necessary. I'll give it to you. And what did Jesus say? He said, you shall not proskuneo anyone but God. You shall not kneel before anyone but God. And here's an amazing thing. You shall not kneel down and worship anyone but God. You hear that? She comes and kneels before him and says, essentially, you are the master. In Jesus, she had recognized the one for whom the crumbs that fall from the table are enough. In Jesus, she had recognized that the Master was present and that the Master loved enough to let her have even the crumbs that fall. I wonder sometimes, is that why Matthew included this story? I know what the scholars say. The scholars say that Matthew included this story so that the church would understand why there are Gentiles in the church if Jesus is a Jewish Messiah. And it was to show that Jesus' own people had rejected him. And he was going to turn and go to the Gentiles. And it eventually that would be how it would work. And in Romans 9 through 11, Paul picks that motif up and talks about how eventually the children of Israel will come to recognize the Messiah. And you might remember that in chapter 10 of there, we talked about this just a couple weeks ago. Paul said that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Remember that? That's what we see happening here. What is presented to us is one group of people who honor God with their lips but can't recognize when the Master is in front of them. They're so caught up in their rule-keeping that they can't see the grace of God that's empowered in front of them. They can't see the grace of God acting in other people's lives. They can't see the healings as something good. Instead, they want to stone him for healing on the Sabbath. The rule-keepers and the religious people look at him and see somebody who's being subversive to their religion. But the Canaanite woman looks at him and sees the love of God. And sees one that she metaphorically calls master. How do we respond to this story of Jesus? Do we pick up rule keeping and decide to make ourselves holy by making sure we dress right, act right, think right, speak right all the time? Good luck with that. Or do we trust that the crumbs that fall from the Master's table are enough? Do we come and kneel before him and offer worship to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me? Those are our options. One of them leads to life. I trust you know that it's the one that involves kneeling and worshiping. How do we respond? What is our daily response to the gospel of Christ? This is the question I bring to you today. We all have trials and temptations, tribulations and manipulations going on in our lives. But none of them can overrule the love of God for us. None of them can cause God to kick us away. For as Paul said, if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, that's not a formula, that's a reality. When we say in our heart that Jesus is Lord, it means we mean it, that we intend to serve and follow him. And then if we say in our heart that we believe that God raised him from the dead, then we are honoring Christ with our heart, and it is a form of worship. And so, dear ones, when we come here, when we worship online, let us come with a heart full of hope that we are encountering the Master, the God of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who has the power to raise us from death to life. Think about that this week. How do you respond to this good news that Jesus has died and been risen? What does it look like in your daily life? When are those times when you are kneeled before the Master? And when are those times when maybe your lips honor him but your heart doesn't? And ask him. Ask him for the crumbs that fall. Ask him to heal. Ask him. Ask him. And he will work in your heart and bring you to fullness of life. I promise you that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the good news is that we are accepted as we are, and we are also being conformed to the likeness of Christ. Amen. We respond today by affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.